holidays, the ABC Listen app has new episodes of your favourite family podcasts. Like Imagine This, where inquisitive minds question Australia's leading academics.
What does a mosquito sound like?
Or Short and Curly, a fast-paced, fun-filled ethics podcast to get the whole family thinking.
Maybe it's time to pause and think about whether you did do the right thing or not.
Find them wherever you get your podcasts or hear them now on the ABC Listen app.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane.
Now, do you have a park and ride near your place? I know I do. So I'm at Nunda, and across the road from Toombul is the train station.
Of course.
And there's a park and ride, or a little car park at Toombul station, train station, but it's only small. Of course, you've got the Toombul car park there where the buses are. Down my street, though, all the cars, they will park in my street.
They're chockers.
Chockers.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating. It's frustrating on both sides, I guess, for people who live in those streets and also for people who just want to get on a bus or train and go to work and they can't find a park. But this is what's happening right across the southeast. The demand for car parks is growing, but building new facilities is not really a sustainable solution. As Craig told you before, the new Springfield Park and Ride will cost $44.5 million for 650 new car spaces.
Gee, that adds up quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
$68,000 per park.
Mm.
Wow. Robert Dow is from Rail Back on Track, the lobby group. Robert Dow, is there a simple answer to our park and ride problem?
Good morning, Craig. Good morning, Loretta. No, there isn't a simple answer. We think there needs to be the establishment of a park and ride task force. As you said, Craig, it's a mess all over, and we need to develop a coherent, sustainable mobility strategy that is going to take the pressure off the residents that live around the stations. It's deplorable what they have to put up with these days, and makes it able for commuters to actually get onto public transport. Now, the way forward is to actually look at modes other than driving to stations and driving to transit hubs. We need to improve what we call feeder bus networks, or station buses, buses running from suburbs into the stations and the transit hubs, and provide much better support for active transport, bicycle and pedestrians.
I guess that type of thing, feeder buses and all that, and immediately I think about that and I think, oh, I've got to get on one bus just to get on another bus. And then, you know, is that going to work for people as well? I know they have to get to where they're going to, but is that going to be supported by the public?
It will work, Loretta. The last couple of years I've gone over to Perth, Western Australia, to have a look at their park and ride and feeder bus setup, which has done very, very well. Now, they have some pretty impressive park and rides, 1,000, 2,000 car parking spaces, but they also run, in conjunction, very good feeder bus networks. Now, the thing that may surprise you and listeners is that they actually charge for park and ride in Perth and Transperth, Western Australia. They charge $2 a day, which is paid using their Smart Rider card, which is the equivalent of our go-kart. Now, that acts as a sort of a type of rationing, if you like, on the park and ride. There is the alternative excellent feeder bus that runs frequently and runs early and late. It runs at times that people can actually catch them. So people have an option. They have a real option other than parking. And it means that people who start work, say, at 11 a.m. in the morning, who do have to drive because they perhaps finish late, can actually get a spot at the park and ride. If you try to do that in southeast Queensland, you have no chance and you're forced to go driving. So we think the establishment of a proper park and ride task force with representatives from the SEQ, Council of Mayors, Translink and Queensland Rail, of course, government representatives, bicycle user groups, pedestrian council and local stakeholders as appropriate, to come up with a strategy that's going to take the pressure off the park and ride facilities as they are, and encourage people to use other modes such as station buses and perhaps even walk or use bicycles. If it's properly supported, people will do it, Loretta.
Robert Dow, in your mind, the lack of park and ride facilities, is that a huge reason why we don't have more people on our train network?
It's one factor, Craig. There's 30,000 park and ride spaces overall on our network in southeast Queensland.
30,000, okay.
About 30,000. Now, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people who travel every day, so it's only a small, but it's a significant part. It does enable some people to use public transport that they otherwise would not be able to use, clearly. But we're finding that people have to get there earlier and earlier to secure a spot. And we're having all these parking overflow issues, which are really becoming a problem. Take Old Tandy, for example. They changed the Gold Coast timetable to make an Old Tandy a stop on the express services and the Gold Coast line in 2014. Now, that immediately acted as a magnet. They only have a very small park and ride facility at Old Tandy, and we have this massive overflow street parking problem, which they're going to start restricting parking in the streets soon. So where are the people going to go then? We don't know.
Yeah, so TransLink say the park and ride facilities, their responsibility in determining design and looking at how many spaces are needed. But then it's a council problem once you get the spillover effect, isn't it? You're exactly saying that they need to talk to each other a bit better than what they're doing right now.
Exactly, and that's why we're calling for establishment of a task force, Craig. We think they can actually come up with a coherent strategy that takes in all the various stakeholders and come up with something that's going to be sustainable in the longer term. At the moment, it's almost a random process in establishing these park and rides. Not enough consideration is given to the establishment of alternative modes, such as station buses. We think Springfield, the greater Springfield area, could be a perfect location for station buses using small buses, similar to maxi taxis, if not a bit bigger, but electric, and run these locally to provide connections not only to transit hubs but to key activity centres in the Springfield area. And if they become established, you're going to get rid of this car dependency, the need for ever-increasing park and ride facilities, and as you point out, it's very expensive. $44.5 million to fill a train two-thirds. It's something that we just can't keep doing.
Michael of Inogra says, with a text, Capera Station has only about 20 parking spots at their park and ride, and you could, you know, say that that's the situation at a few stations. Certainly some of the bigger ones have many more than that. Richard writes, regarding park and ride, I don't want to hear it costs too much. If they want to increase the population by thousands a week, they need to just do it. Can I throw something controversial at you, Robert Dare?
Yes.
Do we need a system where it's boom-gated and you swipe your go-kart to get a car park at a park and ride and there's a nominal fee? Who knows? 50 cents or something like that. Would that ease the problem?
Well, I did mention that's what happens in Perth.
$2.
They charge $2 per day, and it does work. But the reason it works over there is they have very good alternate modes for people to get to and from the stations. Excellent feeder bus network. Good support for active transport. Now, firstly, in southeast Queensland, we do need to improve our feeder bus network particularly.
Yeah.
TransLink has said recently, the Deputy Director General of TransLink, Matt Longland, did say that TransLink is looking towards using the go-kart for park and ride management. So once they start doing that, it would only be a step to pay a nominal fee. Now, by doing that, though, it does mean that people can normally get a park, as I explained, at 11 a.m. in the morning, where at the moment they have to be there by 6:30 a.m. And it works out better for the community because we're not getting this massive parking overflow problem. It is just terrible. I can remember Oxley 2008. We did some advocacy to sort out the parking overflow there. They were parking both sides of relatively narrow streets. Rubbish trucks couldn't get into empty bins. There was constant road rage instances as two cars tried to go up the single lane between the parked cars either side. It's just unsatisfactory for the residents. It's unsatisfactory for the commuters. We've got to do better.
Yep, I know what that's like. It sounds like we need an integration of everything by the sounds of it to get people, parking and riding and getting on public transport. Everything needs to work better. Robert Dow, Rail Back on Track, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
He says there needs to be a task force of some description bringing together the council, mayors, TransLink, other government departments to sort out the park and ride issues that we might have around Brisbane and southeast Queensland.
Do you know also at Toombul train station there was a kiss and ride once?
A kiss and ride?
Yeah, I saw the sign. It said kiss and ride.
Oh, did you give it a go?
I sat there for ages waiting.
Hi, I'm Steve Austin.